Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Welcome back, folks. Getting a number of texts of people that are ordering their turkeys from Dawnbusters, Kiwanis Club, and we appreciate same and just keep it up. We'd love to sell them out. We are joined by the NOPD Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick. Chief, welcome to the show.
Hi, Sheriff. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And Chief, I purchased a turkey for you from Dawnbusters, and I will have it delivered to you on Wednesday. I know you've been busy, and I know you're about to get even busier, so you can check that off. You will have a fried turkey delivered to you Wednesday afternoon.
That is so incredibly gracious. Thank you for that.
I don't know, Chief. It's been crazy times. I was telling Raphael Goinecci, who was on the show earlier, let's talk about this terrorizing series of incidents that have been going on with New Orleans schools. You know, I've watched you a lot, and this is a time that I really saw that you were visibly irritated, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I was. Because it does involve, like with the charges, is terrorizing. You're creating fear in the community, the people who perpetrate this, and it does annoy me. I don't like it, as no one does. And so I also am not one who wants to arrest children, but there are times that it is the most appropriate thing to do, and that is why the arrest has to be made. You have to be taken into custody. You must be charged with this crime.
Yeah, so I'm not sure what the kids are thinking, and I'm sure y'all have debriefed some of them, because you guys have made a number of arrests already. How many in total thus far?
I think we've made a total of 6, if I'm not mistaken, and we still had threats coming in this morning. What we do is on our NOPD side, and I'm sure you did it when you were active sheriff, we secure the school in the sense that we have a situation, we check it out, we make sure that the property is safe, but it is actually the school's decision as to whether or not they choose to shut down a school. We don't make that decision for them. If there was obviously an active shooter situation, of course, we would take control of the property. But once we know the environment is stable and safe, if a school chooses to shut down, that is their decision, not ours.
And these are difficult situations, right? Because you have information, it's fresh, it's new, you're not really in a position immediately to validate one way or the other. So you have to take these precautionary measures.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, we got to take everyone as though it's an active and real decision, and I will treat them all. I won't just act like, or not just me, but the agency. We are not going to dismiss it as a prank on its face. Every single one of them will be investigated as real. Unfortunately, we're finding that so far, they have either been cries for help by a young person, or we had one that came in when we found out yesterday, and yet the school closed, but the person just simply didn't want to go to school. So they created a fake claim that they were going to shoot it up, but they just simply, once we, as I said on the news, and I'll say it here again, for anyone or any parent who is listening, we are able to get to the account of who did this threat. We are going to knock on your door. We are coming because we can find you. And so we had one yesterday, and the young person just simply didn't want to go to school.
And do you think they have a sense of the level and the amount of disruption and the amount of human capital that's consumed with these types of cases?
I don't think so. I actually don't think that they are thinking that impact. And I think, like so many of us, short-sighted thinking. And I think we need to train ourselves up to think about if I make this decision, the potential, you know, critical thinking skills, skills. If this domino drops, what's going to be the impact of the final drop domino when it drops? And our kids and even adults don't think beyond an immediate decision. So no, I don't think they're counting the greater impact, the collateral damage associated with a prank, or even someone who is serious about their threat, but the impact of that.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And this has got to rock the world of those otherwise rule followers, law-abiding folks in the school system. Right. I mean, there's a level of skepticism about school safety on a good day, right? I mean, we are flooded with incidents that we read about on social media, traditional media outlets, and then you have something right. like this. I mean, it kind of sets back the community, and in some respects, that makes your job even harder.
Well, it makes us expend a lot of resources on our end to track these things down. And then, as I said, it's not my desire to arrest a child. I also understand long-term impacts. If I approve or support the arrest of a child, I understand that that has a long-term implication for them when they're young adults or even adults. So I don't do it without understanding there are huge impacts. But what they're doing is terrorizing as well an entire community. So when you and I grew up, these opportunities to use social media didn't exist. And so when we were upset or we didn't want to go to school, we had other ways we acted out. But today, everybody acts out on their emotions in many ways. I say everybody. That's hyperbolic on my part. But we need to learn to have control over our emotions.
No doubt. Well, I know one thing for sure. I'm actually sitting down right now. And, you know, this is some of these are like 1 week post incident. Mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have been able to sit down 1 week post incident if.
But see, you
if
and
I got caught,
right. And you know, you know, I got the whoopings, and I got, you know, I was raised in that era, but it would never have dawned on me to do this. But they also right. Have different messaging today than what you and I had, but this idea of anonymity, I think so many people and adults are doing it in their own way, but they post. And they think that they can be salacious in their remarks. And in the end, people don't realize that anonymity can be easily pierced. And so that's why you see more and more internet defamation lawsuits. People think that they are hiding behind a IP address, but that's so easily pierced.
Yeah, you know, I see stuff out there and I kind of shake my head and I'm like, do these folks really believe they're invisible? I mean,
I actually think they really do think that. I think that they think that in their anonymity, we cannot trace. And today, our technology is just as great as the other person's technology. We easily can get to your IP address. From there, we get to your account, which has a name. From there, we can, even if you used a fake one, we could still get you. And that's why people are just, they're not understanding that this is such an easily traceable deal. They're not, and they're going to have severe consequences for it because we're not going to put up with it, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, you leave a fingerprint everywhere with this technology today. You don't, if you don't understand the technology, you don't realize what you're actually doing, but you're leaving your identity in multiple locations that are relatively easy to get to. That's why you have so many hacking operations and everything else that's out there, right?
Right, exactly. And I think that, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, but people who are victimized by this, yes, you are creating fear in the minds of people. And that also plays to law enforcement's crime fighting strategy. The fear of crime is just as important as well. So when this occurs, we're creating fear. And no parent, no member of this city should have to fear about their kids going to school. And that it does irritate me. So I'm not easily irritated, but I think I'm appropriately irritated, and I don't apologize for it.
No, absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. Chief, and your officers should be commended because I know that y'all were able to get your hands around these kids in a very short period of time. These are not always easy, but obviously they stayed the course, and I'm sure they worked a hell of a number of hours in order to get to where they got in such a short fashion. And I know the community appreciates it. And the same can be said, I think, in your second line shooting investigation. Yeah. I really like the fact that you kind of brought a whole lot of people together to talk about this immediately. Historically, that's not the way that we have responded to these things, and I think a lot of people appreciate that approach as well.
Well, we need to address it. What the important thing out of my mouth as a superintendent, as a chief, and again, your history as sheriff, you understand this, but people need to hear from me. They need to hear in an event like this that we are working it. We do have leads. This is very active. Our ability to solve these homicides are around 75%. So that means for every four people who engaged in murder, three easily will be arrested. That's what our track record is. And that's increasing such that we're getting into the 80 percentiles as well, which means it's more than three out of four. So it's the thing about this month, and I do want to address it because we're seeing some upticks in violence and shootings and homicides. This time last year, we had 20 murders in the month of November. We had 20 murders just in the month of November. In the holiday seasons, actually, is when we see uptick in violence. And here we are moving into the holiday season. Now, we have had and are still having, even immediately, more homicide this month than we had last month. But we're still about 50% down from where we were last month. So when it comes out on the news collectively, and it sounds like, oh, my gosh, and it is, each event is, oh, my gosh. But still, we are ahead of where we were last year. So we are, it's unfortunate, but I do know our community needs to understand that holiday seasons are actually more violent and dangerous in the world of law enforcement.
Yeah. No, no doubt. And, you know, we're heading into that busy time of year, right? I mean, we're going to have a lot more of these large gatherings. Thanksgiving, we always have Bayou Classic. Yeah. Historically, there have been issues. Recently, there hasn't been, which has been great. And hopefully that carries through this year.
Yeah, we have really a lot of strategy and logistics out there. Like even kind of circling back to second lines, you know, the violence that occurred at this particular second line. This is not about second line culture, and it's very important we decouple with the fact that the violence occurred at a second line, but it's not the second line itself or the second line culture. But all of us who go out, and I am going to ask people who go and enjoy these events, we need you to speak up. If you see people with guns, say something to us. Now, we're going to stay constitutionally within our boundaries of the law, but we want to know. And so enjoy your times, but crowds do attract those who want to hijack events.
You know, I wonder, is there a resistance by the second line groups and others when you have these large groups getting together of making announcements to remind them that it is illegal to carry a gun on a parade route or a second line route or otherwise?
You know, I really think that those who are leaders within the second lines are actually wanting to be in partnership with us, but we need them to indeed play that role and to also play the role of announcing about not bringing guns to a second line. It is, I was told it was legally going to count as a parade, which means you can't bring a gun to a second line. And that's my own legal analysis as well, that is clearly you can't bring a gun to a second line. So we need the leadership of the second lines to get that word out. Earlier today, before coming and joining your show, we were doing PSA filming, and there's a great little saying now, and I love it, but we did a PSA where our message is, come for the beat, but drop the heat. We don't want you to bring heat to a second line. So it doesn't matter what the event, and it could be Taylor Swift. It could be any event in which we have crowds, but we're trying to show a presence to deter, not a presence to impose. We want the culture and the enjoyment to be there. So our presence and our large presence is that one for safety, not oppression.
No, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up Taylor Swift. I happen to be down in the city quite a bit. Yeah. In fact, I was an Uber driver one night for my granddaughter and my wife and others that went. And I'd got to talk to a lot of people. And we went to dinner down in the Warehouse District before the concert. And folks were saying they felt safe. They felt like, you know, they were seeing police officers on every block just about. You know, y'all had the overheads on. When it got dark, they felt safe leaving the concert. You didn't hear that all the time in the past, right? But it was really encouraging to hear that this time. And they were paying attention. I mean,
Yeah, Sheriff, we got a lot of really positive feedback, but, you know, I want to provide a sea of blue. I want people to step out and see blue lights everywhere, not as an occupying force, but as it's a statement of your safety, and we are here, and that's what we're trying to provide for these very large crowds, a sea of blue. And that includes all of our partners who are with us. They're part of the blue lights.
No, absolutely. In fact, I got to talk to some JP officers that were working traffic. Some of my old friends with the criminal sheriff's office talked to them as well. Yeah. And everybody, they were really happy. It was mm-hmm. it was fun. It was mm-hmm. good to yeah. talk to them. They felt good about it, and you could tell they're whatever your plan is, they're buying it. They're buying into it, and they're believing it, which is good. It's great.
It's good. I want the culture of our police department, because we're a city of entertainment. We're a city of festivals. We're a city of events, and that's what New Orleans is so known, a wonderful culture of that. So I want our officers to enjoy the community. I want you to engage with them and eat from the food trucks and play with them and have a good time, because they can still be vigilant. They can do both. And if you've ever traveled in other cities, and I have, and I've thought, I don't want to go up to that police officer. I don't want to act like I'm disturbing them. I don't want that mindset of our officers. I want our officers to engage with the community, but they can do it and be mindful.
Absolutely. Well, Chief, thank you so much for joining us. Final thoughts.
Hey, we're going into the holiday season, and we all play a role in our own safety preparedness. So first of all, I wish everyone a wonderful Thanksgiving time with family and friends. Be safe. Always have designated drivers. And thank you for your partnership with us. I'm so grateful to this city and to you, Sheriff, that you give me the opportunity to express my own thankfulness to this city and this community. So stay safe, and thanks, and I look forward to another time of being with you.
And don't forget, Wednesday, I will deliver that turkey. We'll get with your assistant and figure out where that will be delivered. It'll be Thursday in the afternoon, but just know that that's coming your way. And have a great Thanksgiving as well for you and your family. We truly appreciate all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care, sir. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick of the NOPD. You know, a lot of good things have happened, and I meant it when I said it to the chief about a lot of the folks that I talked to, both police and fire, EMS actually as well, and a lot of folks that were talking about walking to and from the French Quarter. A lot of people had gone out, to dinner early, late lunch, early dinner, before the Taylor Swift concert, both Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night, had an opportunity to talk to a lot of those folks. And it was amazing. They all said the same thing. They felt safe. They didn't feel at risk. And as we get the lighting and a lot of the other issues that we talk about with Michael Heck about, and, I get this all the time. People are asking, well, why does it take an event like Taylor Swift or the Super Bowl or Bayou Classic or this or that to get things done? It's an opportunity for a lot of business people that are impacted that come together and they want to, get involved. And a lot of that is motivated by them, right? The reality is that for me, why do we care? Now, the challenge is, and I think appropriately people talk about this all the time, is can we keep it going? And I asked that of Michael Heck, and he says, these meetings that they're having, they've been so fruitful, they've led to so many positive outcomes that there is a strong appetite to keep this going, to keep these meetings going, these open lines of communication, this level of transparency that's out there. And if Michael says it, I think it's going to happen. I think they're going to continue to do it because everybody wants to see positive forward movement. And that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the results of this dialogue that's been created between the business community, you as taxpayers and others and government coming together, articulating a list of priorities and going after it, just going after it day after day. And that's what I love when I watch the chief, things that she's going after it and getting it done and making these arrests. I mean, there's just another new breaking news, another shooting that occurred. Here we are in the midst of this holiday season, and it's getting a little dicey out there. And as when she talks about the solution rates on homicide, and I meant to say this when we were talking, those numbers are historic as it relates to the solution rate. There have been years that they have been in the 30s as it relates to homicide. The national average in homicides is probably around, in big cities, 250,000 plus, in the high 40s, right? So if you're in the 70s and 80s, you're higher than suburban areas, you're higher than rural areas, which are big, big numbers. I can tell you in Jefferson Parish, we historically have been in the 80s and 90s. And it's a mindset that we've always had that we wanted to get those crimes solved. And it has a trickle-down effect and impact in the community in a big, big way. So I am really encouraged by those numbers, as Chief Kirkpatrick outlined. So, all right, we got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Scoots headed your way. Up next, we'll visit with him when we return. Stay with us.